Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Tes at the Mishnah, but before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have one of our topic headings under the Nosei, where we've written Sukkah Yishona, literally an old sukkah. But what do we mean by an old sukkah? Asuyo Yoisim Mishloshim Yoim Lifnei Achag. It was constructed more than 30 days prior to the holiday. Velo Nasta L'Shem Sukkis. And it was not made with a sukkah intention, with a holiday sukkah's intention. It was made as a common booth. Machloikas Tanoim, we'll see a Tanaic controversy. Beishamai Posel Beisilo Machshir. Beis Shammai says it's unfit because it was not made with a sukkah intention. If it were made within 30 days of sukkah, so it's assumed that it was made for the purpose of sukkah. That's the time period in which people start discussing the laws of the upcoming holiday. However, more than 30 days prior to the holiday, Beis Shammai says that if it was not made with the lishma intention, the intent, lishma means having it, the holiday of Sukkot, in mind. So if it was made shaloi lishma without that intent, it's not acceptable. Beis Hillel says there is no need for having the Sukkah constructed with a lishma intention. Diamonds will appear in the Gemara, and they highlight my taimo de Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, where the Gemara seeks out the reason or the sources for their opinions. The Mishnah. Sukkah Yishona, an old sukkah, made before one made more than 30 days prior to the holiday. Beis Shammai poislin. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai renders it unfit, invalid as for sukkah mitzvah purposes, because Beis Shammai requires it being constructed lishma. And as we said before, when the sukkah is made more than 30 days before sukkah without having the holiday of sukkah in mind, so it's not effective. Beis Hillel machshirin. Beis Hillel says it's kosher. They don't require lishma. Ve'ezuhi sukkah yishana. What is the definition of a sukkah yishana? Kol shasor kevim l'chag shloshim yom. Any booth that was constructed more than 30 days prior to sukkah. Aval imaso l'shem chag. If, however, it was made with a sukkah's intention, afilu mitchilas hashana k'shero. Even if it were made from the beginning of the year, it's acceptable. And of course, this is even according to Beis Shammai. My taimo de Beis Shammai. What's the reason for Beis Shammai's insistence on it being done lishma? Omar Kro, the pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yomim Lashem. And they darshan the pasuk and take note of the fact that we have a Roman numeral number 1 later Roman numeral number 2 be two stages in presenting the sources. So at this point, we're working with the Pasuk Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim Lashem Sukkah HaSuyo L'Shem Chag Bo'inon. The sukkah made with the holiday intention in mind is necessary. Beis Hillel, their response, after all, they don't require it lishma, so what do they do with the pasuk? Beis Hillel, Hahu Miboyale Lichder Rav Sheshes. They need the pasuk cited by Beis Shammai for Rav Sheshes' teaching. The Omer Rav Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Minayin La'atze Sukkah Shasurim Kol Shiva. From where do we know that the wood that's used in the construction of the sukkah, that the sukkah booth that's made of wood, is usur all 7 days? That it is, we'll say that it's a type of muktza. You cannot benefit from it throughout the holiday. Talmud Lomar, Chag Hasukos Shivas Yomim Lashem. That's the Pasuk. V'tanya, and a Tanaic source elaborates, Rabbi Yehuda ben Basir Omer, Kishem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al HaChagigah, just like Shem Shemayim is a reference to a status of holiness. We call Kedusha, something that has been sanctified, a status of sanctity, is set upon a Chagigah. Chagigah is a sacrifice, the name of a sacrifice that one offers on the holidays. So, just like sanctity is characteristic of the Korban Chagigah, once you sanctify it, you cannot, you're not allowed to benefit from it until after its innards are offered on the Mizbeach, at which point then you partake of it. So just like the Shem Shemayim is Chal, it sets upon a Chagigah, a Korban Chagigah, Kach Chal Shem Shemayim ala Sukkah, so too an element of sanctity sets upon a sukkah. The sukkah is, as we said, is set aside for the purpose of fulfilling the Almighty's command. Shenemar chag hasukos shivas yomim lashem. And in this pasuk you have the word chag, a reference to a chagiga, the sacrifice chagiga, and sukkos, a reference in this case to the booth. Ma chag lashem, just like the chag, the chagiga is sanctified, af sukkah lashem, so too the sukkah is said to be sanctified. So the pasuk chag hasukkah shivas yomim lashem, Beis Hillel uses it for the purpose of telling me that the atzei sukkah, the wood that's used in the construction of the sukkah, is prohibited for the entire holiday. Ubeis shamay nami mi borei leila hochi, is it not so that Beis Shammai would use this pasuk for the same conclusion? And if that be the case, so what is Beis Shammai's source for sukkah yeshona being possible that you need to have a sukkah done lishma? So the Gemara points out, in Hochinami, in truth, that is the case, that Beis Shammai uses this very pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yom Hashem to tell me the teaching found in this source. Elo Maita Mayu de Beis Shammai. So then what is the basis of Beis Shammai who said sukkah needs to be constructed lishma, with sukkah mitzvah intent? The Gemara answers, Ksiv Kro Achrino. There's another pasuk, Chag HaSukkos Tase L'chol Shivas Yomim. This is a pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Tezayin, pasuk Yud Gimel. The previous pasuk was a pasuk from Vayikra, Perek Chav Gimel, pasuk Lamed Dalet. So the pasuk in Dvarim says, Chag HaSukkos Tase L'chol Shivas Yomim, Sukkah Asuya L'shem Chag Bo'inan. The sukkah must be done with the intention of it being used for the holiday of Sukkot. Beis Hillel, who does not require it being done l'shem Sukkot, what do they do with this pasuk? Hahu miboyalei la'oisin sukkah b'choloi shel moyed. Beis Hillel uses it for a requirement for someone who, let us say, did not built his sukkah at the beginning of Sukkot. He didn't have a sukkah at the beginning. So he's to make it during Chol HaMoed. Ubeis Shammai, Svira Lahu, Kerebi Eliezer. Beis Shammai does not use the pasuk for this idea of sukkah construction during Chol HaMoed, because he holds like Rebbe Eliezer. Diomar Ein Oisin Sukkah B'choloi Shel Moed. Rebbe Eliezer holds that you do not make a sukkah during Chol HaMoed. Rebbe Eliezer is of the opinion that it's a type of all or nothing idea, that a sukkah is considered a sukkah only if it's made for 7 days from the beginning of Sukkot. The Gemara now asks a general type question concerning Shitas Beis Hillel. Up till now, we've seen Beis Hillel holding that you don't have to have the sukkah constructed lishma with mitzvah intent. Could it possibly be, then, that he does not hold from lishma? So we have noted on the side under our nosei, our topic heading, we noted asiya lishma, number one, besukkah, and number two, betzitzis. And now we're going to go into the mitzvah of tzitzis and see where the issue of Lishma figures, and it figures quite prominently. So we will see that in the realm of mitzvah of tzitzis, of the making of tzitzis, Lishma, its manufacture, its making, its preparation must be done with the mitzvah of tzitzis in mind. It would stand to reason that the same standard should apply to the mitzvah of sukkah. So, and why is that not the case, according to Beis Hillel? We open the Gemara here with a long question. The Gemara asks, Ubeis Hillel les lehu de Rav Yehuda Marav? Does Beis Hillel not hold from the teaching of Rav Yom Rav Yehuda Marav? We'll, by the way, take advantage of illustrations of the Pirush Chai. You'll find on page 30, at the lower part of the page, illustrations 150, 151, we see cloth, which eventually would be made into, let's say, a beged, a four-cornered garment. However, in this case, you've got some strands that are coming out of the sides of the garment. So the question is, these are strands, they're loose strings that are coming from the fabric. Are they acceptable in knotting and making into tzitzis? Now, the strings that you see here were not put into the garment with the tzitzis mitzvah intention. They happen to be loose strands. So now let's see the Gemara. There are different cases that are referenced in the Gemara. The Omar of Yoram Arav in the Gemara, the Asa'o, min ha-koitzim, u-min ha-nimin, u-min ha-gardin, psula. If one made tzitzis from these different situations, koitzim, nimin, and garden, Rashi explains what they are. If we look in the Rashi together, halfway down the page, min ha-gardin. So he uses a French word, looks like the word fringe a little bit. Shetoilin b'soif hatalis, fringes that are attached to the edge of the garment. Moisar ha'ariga, it's left over from the weaving of the garment. V'godel shom hatzitzis mina uba. And these fringes, these leftover unwoven strings that are attached to the fabric, to the cloth that was woven, he should decide to tie them. Godel Shom is to tie knots and create the tzitzis fringes from those strings. We just saw in the Gemara, that's unacceptable, it's unfit. Min ha-koitzim, Rashi goes on, chutim shenisku b'shesi, v'koishrin oison, utluyin l'roshayin b'beged l'achar shenerag, Vekori luhu koitzin al shem shibboltim kekoitzin. So in the illustration, you have in the Pirush Chai, there's a bays. So you'll notice in the where the bays letter is in the illustrations, koitzin, and the caption there, it says what Rashi, the Rashi that we just read. So the caption there reads, under bays, chutim shenisku b'shti, vekoishrin oisom. These are strings that apparently became loose. They became detached from the whoop and wharf strings in the weaving process. So the whoop strings became detached, and he tied them on, and they're left dangling like that. That's the koitzim. And the next minanimin, Rashi says, kegoin talis shetafrua o sheosu ba imra b'machat. This is a reference to a garment that was sewn together, and there are strings from the sewing, the sewing thread that was left. Roshei chutei ha'tefirah tluyin bo, men gadlu ha'tzitzis. Min hasisin ksheira. Picture 152 shows you a ball of thread. If you made tzitzis from string coming from a ball of thread, it's kosher. What's the point? So if you look in Rashi, min hasisin koyos kaduria shelchut, gives you then a French word, balls of thread, sheira hoyul ukshenitlu bebeged, since they were inserted into the garment. l'shem tzitzis nitlu. They were inserted with the mitzvah intention of making from it tzitzis, asiyu lishmohi. That is sufficient for accomplishing this intent element. The tviyu lishmolo bo'inon, the spinning of the thread from the original fibers. In order to make thread, you need to spin the wool. In order to, this spinning does not have to be done with mitzvah intention. She'ain't tviyo mino asiyo. The spinning of the original threads of wool, that's not part of the making of the tzitzis that the Torah requires. It's an early preparatory stage, but it's not the actual making of the strings. So, the making of the tzitzis, that is. It is you're making the string, which isn't the making of the tzitzis. And hence, if you're using sisin for your tzitzis, even though the strings weren't spun with mitzvah tzitzis intention, the fact is that once you have the manufactured string and you then put them into the garment, into the holes on in the corners of the garment with tzitzis intention, that is enough. That's kosher. Ki amrisa kamei dishmuel. Now Rav Yehuda, who originally quoted Rav, he says, Rav Yehuda himself had learned by Rav, and then when Rav passed away, he went to learn by Shmuel. So he says, when I said this over to Shmuel, my second Rebbe, Omar Li, af min asisinami psula. Shmuel went further in his stringency than Rav, and says that even if it's made from strings that were not spun with tzitzis intention, the tzitzis would be unfit. The bo'inon tviya lishma. You require the spinning of the wool or the spinning of the strings to be made with the mitzvah intention. So what have we seen till now? We've seen Rav and Shmuel acknowledging that in the preparation or the making or performance of a mitzvah, the item must be made with mitzvah intention. So hachinami, so too with regard to sukkah, neboya sukkah asuya lishma. We should require the sukkah to be made lishma. Why then does Beis Hillel say that is not necessary? The Gemara answers, Shiny Hossam, the case of tzitzis is different. There we require lishma, the Yamakro. The Pasuk says, Gdilim ta'ase l'cha. L'cha equals l'shem chovcha. The Torah is insistent on the tzitzis being made with mitzvah intention, but that's something unique to tzitzis. The Gemara asks, is it really unique to tzitzis? Hacha nami chag asukas tase l'cha, l'cha l'shem chovcha. The pasuk says regarding the sukkah, it says, make it tase l'cha, and use the same analysis, l'shem chovcha. The Gemara responds, hahu miboya le limute gzula. The l'cha, in the case of sukkah, is to the exclusion of a stolen sukkah. In other words, the sukkah must be your property, that which you own, as opposed to something stolen. The Gemara asks, well, if that's how you're applying l'cha to sukkah, hosam nami, in the case of tzitzis, miboya le limute gzula, should you not say that l'cha comes to the exclusion of something stolen? And then it wouldn't be available to tell me about lishma by tzitzis. It's the l'cha by tzitzis is telling me don't use something stolen. The Gemara says, hasam ksiv k'rachrino by tzitzis. We have an additional pasuk to tell me about the psul guzzle. So, being that I have an additional pasuk to tell me about the psul of guzzle, where it says v'osu lohem, which means mishelohem, v'osuhem tzitzis, the pasuk says, means misham from that which they own to the exclusion of stolen, that leaves available the pasuk of gedilin tase lecha, that it must be l'shem chovcha, for the mitzvah intention. But once again, by tzitzis we have a special pasuk telling me you need to have mitzvah intention, but by sukkah you don't have a verse telling me that. Therefore Beis Hillel says you don't have to have the sukkah being made with the mitzvah of sukkah in mind. We continue at Omid Beis, the top, the Mishnah, and we also have an illustration in the Pirush Chai, illustration 153 in the Pirush Chai Book of Illustrations. What we see there is a sukkah made underneath the branches of a tree. The rules of schach state that the schach must be made from material that originates from the ground, something that grows, and something that's not mekabel tumo, and also it must be detached. So if we have a sukkah that is being overshadowed by branches of a tree, and the branches of the tree are contributing to the shade of the sukkah, you've got a problem. So the Mishnah says, Ha'oisa sukkosoi tachas ha'ilon ki'ilu asoa besoch habayis. It's as if you made it in one's house. And obviously, you can't sit in your house and fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Sukkah al gabi sukkah. Illustration 154. A sukkah built upon a sukkah. You have two sukkahs, one on top of the other. The upper one is acceptable. The lower one is not acceptable. There is a pasuk that indicates that a double sukkah is not acceptable. So when you're sitting in the upper one, so above you, there is no additional sukkah. So as far as you are concerned, above you have only one layer of schach. The sukkah is associated with the schach. So you have only one sukkah above you. You have no, and that is, you have no sukkahs above you, so you're in good shape. However, if you're sitting in the lower one, so you're sitting in your immediate sukkah, and then there's another sukkah above you. And that is excluded by the pasuk. Rashi says on the second line from the top, "Hatachton psula d'shnei schochin yesh lo." It has two schach coverings. Ukra posil sukkah tachas sukkah kibla. Come on, and the pasuk teaches that that's unfit. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im ein diyurin ba'el yoina hatachtona ksheira. And as far as what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Rashi is quick to point out the Gemara Meforash Law. This will be explained in the Gemara. So we can't even translate that. Omar Rava Loi Shanu, the teaching of Sukkah Tachasa Ilan as being unfit. We have illustration 156. What do we see there? We see a tree that's over the sukkah. That creates a situation of shade. We saw in 153 a sukkah under a tree whose branches would create a significant amount of shade. However, in illustration 156, we see a tree over a sukkah. However, the amount of shade it's going to create is very limited. They're very sparsely growing branches. So Rava says, Omar Rava, Lo Shanu Elu B'ilon Shetzilsei Meruba Mechamoso. The psul of the Mishnah of Sukkah Tachas Ilan being like it's in your house is only if the tree produces Tzilso Meruba Mechamoso, more shade than sun. Avo Chamoso Meruba Mitzilso, Kshera. If the amount of sunlight coming into the Sukkah as a result of that tree would still be greater than the amount of shade, so the tree, the presence of the tree, doesn't bother us. The Gemara goes on and asks me, "My, how do you know that?" The Gemara answers, and the answer takes a few lines to develop. Midiktoni, from the fact that the Mishnah says ki'ilu asoa besoch habayis, the Mishnah described a sukkah under a tree as being unfit. But the Mishnah didn't use the word puzzle. The Mishnah said it's as if it's in the house. Lomali lemisni kilu asobasoch habayis. Lisni psula. Why does the Mishnah say it's as if you made it in the house? Say simply, sukkah under tree is unfit. Apparently, that would not be accurate. Elaha kamash malon. Rather, it's the following that the Mishnah wants to communicate. The Elon dumya debayas, the Elon that passels the sukkah, it's an Elon, a tree that's like being in a house. Ma bayis silsim ruba mechamos. So just like when one is in one's house, the shade is greater than the sun. Af ilon silsim ruba mechamos. So too, the ilon that passels would be a tree where the shade is greater than the sun. And that we saw would be the case in illustration 153. But in case 156, that kind of tree doesn't pose a threat. The Gemara asks, V'chi chamosei meruba mitzilso, my have, and if the sun amount is greater than the shade, so what? Why should it be kosher? Ha ka mitztarif schach posel b'hadei schach kosher. I nevertheless have the joining of the schach posel represented by the tree branches in 156 with the kosher schach, the detached branches that are currently on the sukkah. Together, they create more shade than sun. So is it not so that the shade, although minimal, but the shade created by the tree helps in being mashlim, as Rashi says, to complete the amount, the greater amount of shade than sun that's now going to be enjoyed in the sukkah? So don't we have to concern ourselves with that? Namely, by saying, as we said before, that the only time there's a problem is if the tree creates on its own more shade than sun. That's not so. Even in a case where the tree is sparsely branched, it nevertheless adds to the shade that eventually will be enjoyed in the sukkah. So it joins up, you have schach posel represented by the tree branches joining with the schach kosher to create a sukkah whose shade is greater than the sun. So is that not a problem? Amar Rav Papa b'shechovton. Rav Papa explains, it's not a problem provided you see what you say. See in 157 b'shechovton. Now chovton is an expression meaning you lowered the branches and you interwove the branches with the schach kosher. So that, assuming that there is a majority of schach kosher, it will outnumber the schach posel, the attached branches, and being that they're interwoven, we have a rule that you go according to the rov. You follow the majority. The majority is schach kosher, and because it's interwoven, so we can apply the concept of bittel. It becomes voided. The unfit branches become voided, and therefore the sparse branches, when you do chovton, lower them and intermingle them, as you see in 157, they are okay. There's no problem. The Gemara asks, Ibeshe chovton mai lemeimra. If that's the case, so what do I need Rava to tell me something that's so obvious? Rava said, Chamsoi meruba mitzilso is kshera, and Rav Papa says it's talking about a case of chovton. If that's the case, it's very obvious that it's kosher. Why do I even have to tell you that? The Gemara says, Mahu detema, without being told, I would have thought, Nigzar hecha de chovton, atu hecha de lo chovton, that we should not allow 157. We should not allow a case where you actively intermingle the branches in anticipation of a case where you did not, where you left it as it was in 156. Komash malandelo gazrinon. So what Rava, who opened this sukkah together with Rav Papa, are telling me that we don't make gzera. And if you do chavtan, chovton with tree branches that was chamsom ruba mitzilsa, your sukkah is kosher. The Gemara asks. The question lasts a number of lines. We have a long question. The Gemara says, well, honami tanina, this point of information that we don't make a gzeira, and that you have a sukkah where you were chavtan the schach posel with the schach kosher, and the rove is schach kosher, the sukkah is kosher. We know this from a Tanaic source. Hence I don't need the opening statement of Rava with Rav Papa's commentary. It's all unnecessary. I would know it anyway. What does it say? We have a source. Hidlola esagefen v'sadlas v'sakisum v'sikach al gabon psula. If I have a vine, that's the gefen. Delas is another type of growth, and kisum is a type of very tall grass. Rashi says, Esef hamispashet ma'oy v'shoshov ki'ilon v'koro ki'ilon. Some of them are very large, spreading Esef. Esef generally is understood to be grass. Anyway, it's long enough that I could cover a sukkah with it. So I have these three things that are all growing attached plants. And I covered my sukkah with them. It's possible. The sukkah is unfit because it's mechubar, because it's covered with something attached. And as we said at the beginning of today's of this section, that in order for schach to be acceptable, it's got to be detached. However, it says in this source, v'im hoya siku harbe mehen, if kosher schach was greater in quantity than this the unfit schach oishik kotsitzan, or he detached the vine or the delas or the tall grass, he detached them from the ground, k'sher, your sukkah would be kosher. Now, on the case of that which it said siku harbe, heifi domi, what is meant by that, by siku harbe? He leimo'o b'shelo chavtan. If you're talking about a case where the vine was growing over the sukkah and it was still attached, and you didn't chavtan, you didn't lower it and intermingle it with the kosher branches, the detached kosher schach that you had, well, you'd be back to the problem of having a combination of unfit schach with kosher schach, and that's not acceptable. If you're going to be using unkosher schach to join up with kosher schach to create silsa meruba mechamsa, that's not acceptable. And alav v'shechavtan, this Tanaic source must be understood as a case of chavtan, where you have the attached vine intermingled with detached kosher schach, where the kosher schach was greater in quantity, and hence mevatel the attached branches. Ushmami no de lo gazrino. From this source, we conclude the sukkah is kosher. We don't impose a gezera, a rabbinic voiding of such a sukkah. So what do I need Rava and Rav Papa's commentary? What do I need that for? I have that information from a Tanaic source, namely the understanding of Siku Harbe Mehen, and this Tanaic source demands this explanation. The Gemara explains then, what do I need Rava for? Ma hu dete mahani mili b'diavad. Again, hani mili b'diavad. This source is describing a case where it's post facto, where you did it already, so we tell you it's kosher. The lashon of the source was hidla alayas given. You already covered it with the vine, so we tell you, well, if you already covered it with the vine, then if you have sikul harbe nechavtan, so it's kosher. Aval dechatchila lo. But to initially set up a sukkah that way, you didn't start anything yet, and now the question is in your mind, shall you go ahead and intermingle attached, sparse attached branches with kosher schach? I would have thought that you're not allowed to do that. Komash Malon, Rava is telling me that you're allowed to do that as a first choice in your initial making of the sukkah. So that if you have a situation where you have a certain amount of kosher branches, but in and of themselves, that's not enough to make a kosher sukkah. But you have kosher branches, for schach purposes, and you have a tree that's very sparsely branched, and by intermingling the majority of kosher branches together with the minority of attached unkosher tree branches, but you intermingle them, and you have the majority of kosher branches, you can make a sukkah initially like that. That's what Rava is telling me in this sukkah. The Gemara continues. Sukkah gabi sukkah v'chule. The two-story sukkah, one sukkah on top of the other. Our Mishnah said that the bottom sukkah is unfit. The discussion concerning sukkah gabi sukkah, we have a topic heading on the side, the nosei sukkah gabi sukkah. This discussion lasts ad ha-mishnah on daf yud amid aleph. So this will keep the Gemara busy till the lower part of yud amid aleph. However, in the context of today's shiur, so we will continue Amir Tzashem till the ninth line from the top to complete this trend of thought that starts here. And really, with Rabbi Yirmiyahu, who appears a couple lines from now, the Gemara opens with a Tanaic source, Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says, "Besukos teshvu," and we understand, "Velo besukah tachas sukkah," not in a sukkah underneath another sukkah, "Velo besukah shetachas ho'ilon," nor a sukkah under a tree, "Velo besukah shebesoch habayis," nor in a sukkah within one's house. The Gemara asks, if you're darshaning this pasuk besukos teshvu, adirabo, to the contrary, besukos tarti mashma. The word sukos, the way we read the word, it's we read it in the plural. So if you're sitting in a sukkah under a sukkah, that's actually very good. You have multiple sukkahs, and that's what the pasuk said. Omer of Nahbar Yitzhak besakas ksiv. We don't emphasize the way we read the pasuk, but we emphasize the letters as they appear. And the word is spelled in the Torah, in the traditional Torah spelling, it's written in the singular. So the Torah is saying, you shall sit in a singular sukkah, and not in a sukkah over which there is another sukkah. As we continue in the Gemara, we also might want to have available illustrations under number 160 in the Pirush Chai, the bottom part of page 32. There are a number of illustrations there, and they illustrate the cases that we have coming up. But before we go into the Gemara itself, just those of you who want to take advantage of illustrations, let's point out a few things. First of all, we have certain height indicators. You see numbers there, 19 in the Aleph picture and then 20 in the second picture. Those are height indicators. And you have different types of dashed lines. There are denser dashed lines and more sparsely dashed lines. The denser dashing indicates a thick type of schach covering, which we can say tzilsum ruba mechamsa, more shade than sun. And the opposite is the case with the sparsely dashed line, more sun, chamsum ruba, tzilsum, more sun than shade. That's by way of getting maximum benefit of these illustrations, to be aware of these different details. We turn to the Gemara, where we've circled Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya will be the focus of our attention. He's going to mention 4 points. And first we'll read the 4 points. We're not going to explain them because the Gemara itself explains each one of the 4 points. If you see, there's some underlining that appears later in the Gemara with numbers above them. And those underlined phrases are that which Rav Yirmiya opens up with, 4 points. When we finish his 4 points, the Gemara is eventually going to ask what might sound like a surprising question, but the Gemara says everything he says is seemingly obvious. What do I need Rav Yirmiya to teach me his points when it would seem to be something I could figure out on my own? The Gemara eventually will answer one of Rav Yirmiyahu's points, without him having said it, I would not have thought it to be acceptable, but rather I would have thought that we make a gezeirah and not allow, particularly point three. And the Gemara says the chiddush then of Rav Yirmiyahu is that we don't make a gezeirah. We don't restrict what's featured in case three. Even though there was room to think that maybe I should. So now turning to the Gemara Amar of Yirmiyahu. Pa'amim shishteng shera, sometimes both of them, we're talking about sukkah gabi sukkah, sometimes they're both acceptable. When we say both acceptable, it basically means that there is no post-sale, there's nothing rendering the sukkah puzzle. Pa'amim shishteng psula, sometimes both are unfit. Pa'amim shishtachtoinik shera elyona psula, sometimes the lower is okay, the upper is not okay. Pa'amim shishteng Tachtona psula v'elyonik shera. Sometimes the opposite, and that the lower one is unfit and the upper one is fit. Pa'amim shishteng shera. Now we go over them. We say there are times that both are kosher. And you can have one finger on the illustrations if you like. And we say that sometimes both are kosher. That's illustration Aleph in picture in under number 160 of Pirush Chai, bottom of page 32. We say both are kosher in that case. So what do we see in that illustration, by the way? We see that the entire unit reaches a maximum height of 19 tefachim. Both are kosher is going to really mean that you can sit in the lower sukkah. There's no way you can be sitting in the upper sukkah. It's very sparsely covered. You'll fall right through. You can sit in the lower sukkah, and the upper sukkah does not affect you. That's why we say both are kosher. So now the Gemara says, "Hei chidami, what is the case of both being kosher? Kegon shetachtoino chamosam ruba mitzvah." So the lower unit is sparsely covered, so that there would be more sun than shade if all you had to rely on was its immediate covering. V'elyoino tzilsam ruba mechamsa. The upper one is properly covered, producing more shade than sun. The kaimel yoina besoch esrim, and the schach of the upper sukkah, which is a kosher level of covering, is within the 20, it's less than 20 amos from where you are sitting on the lower, in the lower sukkah, on the ground, we'll say. So the upper schach is within 20 amos, it's less than 20 amos from the ground. This unit is kosher. Just that, as we said before in our explanation, when we say shteim ksheros, it's a little tricky in that it's not, we're not saying that you're going to be able to sit in the upper sukkah. If you could, so power, all power to you, but it seems like you'll fall right through the floor. But the, for our purposes, we're telling you that the upper one does not impose any problem for the lower one. So we say shteim ksheros. Pomim shishteim psulos, sometimes both are unfit. Heshidomi, what would be the case? Now, before we read the Gemara, if you look at illustration Beis, that's also the case of shteim psulos. The lower sukkah is properly covered. The upper sukkah is properly covered, but the upper sukkah is more than 20 amos. So we say the case of shteim psulos hechidomi. What is the case? Kegon the travayo tzilson ruba mechamson. Both of them have an abundance of shade. The kaimo elyoino lemalo meesrim amo, and the upper sukkah is more than 20 amos. Well, the upper sukkah is more than 20 amos from the roof of the lower sukkah. So the floor of the upper sukkah is the roof of the lower one. Now, where is the roof of the upper sukkah relative to its floor? Well, it's more than 20 amos. So the upper sukkah is no good. Even though you have more shade than sun, you've got the shade level is fine. However, the problem is that the schach is too high above your head when you're sitting in that upper sukkah. The lower sukkah is no good because it's underneath something that's puzzle. Continuing in the Gemara, Pe'omim she'tachtoino k'shera ve'elyoina p'sula, you can have a situation where the lower one is kosher and the upper one is unfit. This, you can see illustration Gimel, which says, the caption reads, Tachtoino k'shera ve'elyoina p'sula. Heifi, the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Yud Omer Aleph. Heifi domi, how is it that the lower one is okay and the upper one is not okay? Kagon, shatachtoino tzilsum ruba mechamsa. The lower one has an ample amount of shade produced by its chach, where there's more shade than sun. The yoyne chamsum ruba mitzilsa, the upper one has too much sun there. There's more sun than shade. The kaimo travayu besoch esrim. And both of them are within 20 amos, so that the presence of the sparse schach above the lower sukkah as well doesn't present a problem, because it is within 20 amos. The Rashi that is appropriate for this is found a few lines below here. Tachtona k'sher v'leinu p'sula. Rashi goes on, hey chidomi kigon shel tachtona tzilsum ruba, the lower one has ample shade. Tischach shel yonu lav schachu v'lo mifsula tachtona mishom sukkah tachas sukkah. The schach of the elyon of the upper one is not schach. It's allowing more shade, more sun than shade, and it doesn't passel the lower one on the grounds of sukkah tachas sukkah, because the fact that the upper one isn't a sukkah isn't kosher, so it's not, the lower one is not underneath a sukkah. The upper one is not acceptable. You can't sit in the upper one either, because there's more sun than shade over there. The case is where both of them, the upper one and the lower one, the upper one specifically, is the roof of the upper one, the schach of the upper one, is within 20 amos. It's less than 20 amos from the ground. If the schach of the upper one were more than 20 from the ground, af tachton psula, the lower sukkah would be unfit. Mishum de mitstarev schach posul bahade kosher. Unfit schach, i.e. schach more than 20 amas from the ground, is joining with the schach kosher. Mishum de schach lemalo me'esrim psula, schach more than 20 amas from the ground is unfit. Aval ki koi besoich esrim litztarev, when it's within 20 amas it can join. Ubevad shelo yehei tzilsum ruba mechamsa, provided that the upper schach is more sun than shade, and namely it's not more shade than sun. Because if the upper one were more shade than sun, the tifsel tachtein mishum sukkah tachasukah, then the lower one would become unfit by virtue of its being underneath another sukkah. So, keeping all these details in mind, we see how tachteino ksheira and elyona psula. And we continue in the Gemara, third line from the top at the end of the line, number four, pa'omim shal yoyna ksheira tachteino psula. You can have a situation where the upper one is kosher and the lower one is unkosher. Heichi domi, how is it that the lower one is going to be considered posel on the grounds of it being sukkah tachas sukkah, that it is a sukkah underneath a sukkah? Kagon, the travayot tzilsum ruba mechamson. Both of these have more shade than sun. The kaima el yoyna besoch esrim. And the schach of the upper one is within 20 amos of the roof of the lower one. So being that the schach of the upper one is within 20 amos of the roof of the lower one, the roof of the lower one is in effect your floor when you're sitting in the upper one. So the elyona is kshera, because, as we said, there's more shade than sun, and the schach overhead when you're sitting in the upper one is within 20 amos of where you're sitting, so that's fine. The lower one is posel. It's clear. It's a sukkah tachas a sukkah. The Gemara says, Pshita, everything that we've learned till now appears to be obvious. In other words, without Rav Yirmiyah spelling out these points, I, with my previous knowledge concerning laws of Sukkah, I could have come to this conclusion as well. What does Rav Yirmiyah teach us that I would have not known otherwise? So the Gemara says, case number 3 has in it a chiddush. Tachtoinuk sherei an absulis derichalei. I need to tell you the third case, that the lower one is kosher. The lower one was a sukkah with plenty of schach, with silsim ruba mechamsa. The lower one was kosher. The upper one was unkosher, it was too sparsely covered. And the schach of the sparse schach was within 20 amas of the ground, so that it didn't render the lower one unfit by having a case of siruf of schach puzzle. So there's a chiddush here. Mahu detema, without Rav Yirmiyah, I would have thought, nigzar, dilma, mitstarf schach puzzle, b'hadi schach kosher, that I might come to a situation where, unknowingly, the person might actually make the upper one, the schach of the upper one, not within 20 amas of the ground, but a little more. And if the schach of the upper one is more than 20 amas from the ground, then vis-a-vis the lower sukkah, that would be schach puzzle. So that, just, there's a very, very fine line between within 20 amas and just above 20 amas. It's a negligible, infinitesimally small amount. So if we're allowing you to have the lower one kosher by virtue of the fact that the upper posel schach was within 20 amos of the ground, and we say you can, that's okay, and we don't make a gzera, I would have thought maybe we should make a gzera and posel the lower so it could be in anticipation of someone not being careful and making and placing the upper sparse branches more than 20 amos from the ground. So the Gemara concludes, Komashlon, the Chiddush of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that we don't make such a gzera. We allow the lower sukkah to be kosher if the sparse branches of the upper one are within 20 amas, and if the sparse branches of the upper one happen to be more than 20 amas from the ground, so then that would passel the lower sukkah. And that was actually the case that we spoke about in case number 2, where both were, we said, Shneim Psulos, or I'd say more accurately, that would be a case where we mentioned before that if the schach posel were more than 20 amas from the ground, it would be a problem of being mitzaref schach posel with the kosher schach, and that would be a problem. However, if you set it up properly, that the upper sparse schach was within 20 amas of the ground, the lower sukkah is kosher. Just a very fine detail, and that is that in describing the Elyona with the sparse branches being above 20 amas, that's illustrated in 5, in Hay, illustration Hay. Technically speaking, it wouldn't fall under the category of Sukkah Tachas Sukkah, because the upper one, being that it has a very sparse covering, it's not even a sukkah, so that the lower one, it's posel by virtue of the fact that there's schach posel above it, but it's not posel on the grounds of sukkah tachas sukkah. That having been said, though, the point that we just made in the Gemara, that Rav Yirmiyah made, that in case 3 we will accept it. Case 3 was illustrated in our tachtonik sher elyona posel, and we don't make a gzera passeling the tachtona because you might have made the schach, or anticipation of someone having made this, put the sparse schach more than 20 amas. As long as the sparse schach is within 20 amas of the ground, the lower sukkah will be kosher. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.